Hello, good day, and welcome back to another episode of Farewell. Hope everyone's day is off to a great start, or if you're listening to this not at the beginning of a day, I hope whatever time of day it is that you're having a great time. It is Monday when we release this, so it is time for a coach up. Today we are going to be coached by Brad. He is going to be talking about an idea that we've discussed before on a roundtable, but I think it is worth going into in a little bit more depth. It is the four levels of competence. And I'm going to let Brad explain what those are, but it is basically a way of understanding the steps of development as you approach a new skill or a new practice or a new craft. And it is useful, as you'll hear Brad explain, because knowing where you are on the four levels will help determine what you need to advance to the next level. And then we'll also have some stuff in here about when you get to the top, when you reach mastery, what you can do to continue to grow even though you're at sort of the top of the four levels of competence. So I really like this one. This is one that I learned authentically from Brad once I started working with him. And it was sort of a light bulb moment. And so I'm hoping that it will be that way for you too. Here's Brad on the four levels of competence.
Four levels of competence is a model that was developed in the 1970s at the Gordon Training Institute. And it essentially says that we progress through fairly predictable stages of competence or skill on the way to mastery, on the way to really being great at something. And those four levels are unconscious incompetence. So you don't know that you don't know what you're doing. You're just completely lost. Conscious incompetence. So you know that you don't know what you're doing. So you're completely lost, but you know that you're completely lost. Conscious competence, which is when you know that you know what you're doing. And then the peak of the pyramid, which is unconscious competence, when there's no thinking or knowing involved, there's just doing. People often call this flow or having a peak experience. That is the top of the pyramid. Yes, that is mastery. It's when you're in the zone. It's when you're firing on all cylinders. It's when the game is just happening and you are happening as a part of the game. You're in the dance. You're not thinking about the dance anymore.
Yeah, and I feel like when we think of this, we think of like Patrick Mahomes or Steph Curry or something like that.
That's right. But it could happen in just about anything. It doesn't have to be in sport. I've got a good friend that's a surgeon, and he talks about how sometimes in the OR, like, surgery is just happening. It's not like I'm doing the surgery. It's like surgery is happening. And those are the moments that he lives for.
And is there, like, obviously it's different, it's case by case, but I'm curious to talk through, like, how long it takes someone to move from level to level, right? Like, unconscious competence to conscious incompetence. Seems like that happens fairly quickly. But to make the jump from conscious incompetence to conscious competence is probably takes a lot longer.
That's right. The way that I like to think about it is, if you don't know that you don't know what you're doing, nothing's going to help you other than getting a coach or a mentor or a teacher or spending some time really studying up on what you're trying to do and learn it. Then when you get to conscious incompetence, same thing. You're going to benefit from coaching, mentorship, continuing to learn, continuing to refine. Once you hit conscious competence, you stay there generally in most things for quite a long period of time before you start to have peak experiences. And while it's linear on the way up, just because you reach the top doesn't mean you're going to stay there. I think a lot of masters of craft, they go back and forth between the zone of not thinking and not knowing and just doing, being in flow, and then back to more effortful, deliberate, focused, kind of conscious competence performing. So the way that I like to think about it is that a really good foundation or a really good base for mastering anything is to have conscious competence. And then if you just work that over and over and over again, you start to have some breakthrough moments or experiences where you can let go of thinking if you have the courage to let go of thinking. And what I mean by this is there's this trap that often happens at conscious competence, which is we get so used to specific tools to help us perform that we're scared to release from those tools. And as a result of being scared to release from those tools, we end up getting in our own way. So an example could be an athlete that uses a heart rate monitor that's constantly looking at their heart rate. And maybe they're about to have the best day of their life, but their heart rate monitor says, you know, their heart rate's already high. So then they get scared and they shut things down, when if they would have kept pushing, they would have set a new record. It can also be someone that's so used to writing in a certain format, and like they become dependent on that format, and they're ready to break through and do something special, but they're scared to release from the structure that they're accustomed to writing in. You can see this in a relationship when like two people like get like really comfortable doing certain things the same way. And like, that's kind of the comfort zone and it works. So you're scared to leave it behind, even though there could be something more harmonious, more flowing beyond it. So the way that I like to think about it is the tools that help you work your way up the pyramid eventually become the things that might get in your way.
Yeah, this is also, I feel like what they say a lot about, they say it about writing, but also art, which is learning the rules so that you can break them. You can't just go straight for cubism, I don't think. You have to start by learning some of the basics, and then you get so good at it that you let it go, and then you do something totally revolutionary. But it's that courage, to use your word, to step out into the thing, to the thing you don't know, the unconscious part.
That's right. I think another really straightforward example of this is learning a new language. So when you learn a new language, most people reach this point where they have to think about what they're going to say in the new language, and then they say it. And you can get really good that way. You can even get like borderline conversationally fluent that way. And I would call that conscious competence, right? Because you're having to think about what you're going to say. But then like when you really learn a new language, you start thinking in that language. And that, to me, is unconscious competence. Another example for the listeners out there that have knowledge work jobs where maybe you're in like PowerPoint making presentations or Microsoft Excel. There's a certain point, because I've been there in a past age, where you spend so much time in PowerPoint that you start thinking in PowerPoint slides. So when you're making a presentation, you no longer have the idea that you need to translate to PowerPoint. The slide just appears in your brain. Or when you're in the financial model, you're no longer deliberately thinking through the model. You just kind of become one with the model. Those are all varieties of this pinnacle state where we feel really good and we perform really well. But the only way to get there is to do the deliberate effort to pay attention, and sometimes to use tools and checklists and other aids along the way.
And this is a cool framework, just to like, because you can see how it sort of overlays how development occurs, right? But I'm curious, outside of like an intellectual understanding, or maybe that's the answer here, how is this useful to someone as they're learning a new skill or trying to approach mastery?
I think it's useful because if you can loosely identify where you're at on the pyramid, you can ask yourself really good questions to help you. So if you don't know anything, then the answer is simple. You need to go get some books and find a coach or a mentor. If you know that you don't know what you're doing, that's great. You still need to read and learn and get coaching. If you know that you know what you're doing, expect to spend a fair amount of time there refining your craft. You can't just spend like a week in conscious competence and then expect to enter flow. But I think if you've been at conscious competence for a very long time and you become really reliant on certain tools, and they can be like external tools. Again, the easy example to give is like a wristwatch that tells you your heart rate or something, but they could also be internal tools, right? Things that you tell yourself, certain methods or approaches. And you kind of start to feel stuck, you could ask yourself, what would it look like to have the courage to leave the tool behind? So for the athlete, it can be not training with your watch or putting masking tape on over your watch. For the writer or the artist, it could be releasing from the format that you normally write your essay in. Again, in the more like traditional workforce, it could be just like trying not to translate a thought to your medium, but to think in the medium itself. So I really think it's just a matter of like, where am I at and what do I need? And the answer to me looks like coaching slash tools, and then the ability to let all of that go and be your best at times, knowing that just because you hit that peak or flow experience doesn't mean you're going to come back down to deliberate effort. I mean, something that you know better than me, Clay, is meditation. And I feel like there's another area where you definitely work your way through this pyramid, and like the moments in meditation that can be so profound and keep you coming back because they feel really good are those moments where meditation is just happening. There's mm-hmm. no you, there's no breath, there's no sound around you, there's no sensations in the body. It just is. It all is. You are experiencing like being or awareness. But no one sits in being or awareness unless they're on like a crazy psychedelic trip. You come back to, well, how do you get to being or awareness? You focus on an anchor. You focus on the breath. That to me is conscious competence. Like you are focused on something. And then at times you just kind of release from it and you see these glimpses of peak experiences, but then you have to come back to the focus.
Yeah, totally. That's a great point. And I think the framing for that that I've heard that I like is it's like you can't set out to achieve, I guess what we're using here is mastery or unconscious competence, but you can create the conditions and then it might show up. And that's also a thing you hear a lot from writers, or at least musicians who are like, not even musicians, actually. I think Jerry Seinfeld talks about this where it's like, you create the conditions, like you are disciplined. So you create the conditions that you might have a good day of writing. But Jason Isbell talks about this too. We talk about him. We talk about maybe the only thing we talk about almost as much as meditation or Mark Epstein is Jason Isbell. And same thing. He's like, you show up every day to write. And most days you're not going to get anything amazing. That you might still get something good. That's conscious competence, but you show up so that if the muse shows up, you're there to capture it. And that's sort of like the flow or the unconscious competence.
And I keep coming back to this notion of having the courage to let go. And for Jason Isbell, that might mean to say, screw it. I'm not going to work on the song I thought I was because the muse is here for another song. And kind of go off plan. Another like concrete example of this to bring it back to meditation is a couple of years back when I was meditating much more frequently before we had kids, I was having a not infrequent experience. I wouldn't call it frequent, somewhere, you know, with some regularity, maybe once a week, a couple times a month, of having moments of meditation where I disappeared and it was just pure being. Often when that happened, there was like big, like I'd realize it was happening kind of. And once you realize it's happening, it's kind of over. And I'd feel like big anxiety. And I told my meditation teacher at the time, Judson Brewer, that this was happening. And Judd said, oh, that's just your ego scared to die. And you can interpret that in a very woo-woo way. Like what is Brad and his teacher Judd talking about? But if you think about your ego, like your ego is the analytical, judging, linear conscious mind. Like your ego is the tool that helps you navigate the world. And it's a really good tool to have. You need it. But to reach that next level that just feels so nourishing to your soul, you've got to leave your ego behind. And that's really hard and scary to do. And, you know, Steve would laugh if he were here because I'm going to bring it back to running. It's no different than a distance runner having a watch tell them, like, you're going over pace, you're going over pace. But if it's the day that you're going to run 5:30s instead of 6 minute miles, sometimes you just got to say, screw it, let's run 5:30s. But if you're scared to, you'll never get there. So whether it's your ego, whether it's some checklist that you're following, whether it's a biometric device or a word count on your writing or whatever it is, these tools are so helpful until we have to have the courage to let them go.
All right. Thank you, Brad, for that. I think a couple things to highlight there. One is just knowing the four levels of competence and figuring out where you are in those four levels. So you can ask yourself, as Brad said, where am I at and what do I need? And then another question that Brad asked that I like was, what would it look like to leave the tools behind? And that, of course, refers to the third level when you reach conscious competence. How can you get out of your own way so you can maybe get to unconscious competence? Are the tools that got you to that third level holding you back from getting to the fourth level? And then at the fourth level, unconscious competence, one idea I want to bring in here is from Zen, and it is the idea of beginner's mind or don't know mind, which is a way of approaching a practice or craft or skill or hobby, even if you're a master, as if you didn't know anything about it, as if you were a beginner. And it's just a way of reminding yourself to stay playful and stay curious. Rick Rubin, who's a very successful music producer, writes about this in his book, The Creative Act, A Way of Being. He writes about how in the studio, sometimes artists and musicians can get stuck and how Rick himself can get stuck, even though he's obviously very successful and very good and a master at what he does. And so he'll try to make it playful by changing something about the context. So if they usually have the lights on, he'll turn the lights off. Or if the artist usually uses a microphone stand, maybe he'll have the artist hold the microphone. Maybe they'll bring in an audience to listen. Maybe he'll turn the volume in the headphones way up. But it's just this idea of how can we, even when we reach the top of the four levels of competence, unconscious competence, how can we still keep it playful and fun so that even when you're an expert or very successful or very great at what you do, you can still continue to grow. How does that apply to you? Well, if you have a very set routine of how you approach something that you're very good at, switch up your routine, try something different, get playful with it. It's going to be uncomfortable, but it might unlock a new level for you. And in that case, it'll be worth it. That is all for today. Thanks to you for listening. I hope you have a great day, great week. We'll be back on Thursday with another episode. I'm Clay Skipper, and as always, farewell.